Humans. Movement. Radio. Woman's. Movement. Radio. Welcome to Woman's Movement Radio Show. I'm your host, Janae Eisenstrauss. I would love to thank all of you for tuning in and listening to our show today. As always, I will be speaking to women all around the world about their business, love, and lifestyle, bringing you inspiration, motivation, by always aspiring to keep you informed, inspired, and incredibly successful. We have a great show planned for all of you today. When we return, we are going to be talking about sisterhood. Are you a woman who is serious about starting an online business that will allow you to create sustainable wealth and growth? Well, we've done the research. Let us introduce you to some of the best business professionals that have researched numerous business concepts and provide you with great free advice for developing a sustainable business online. Visit us at womensbusinesssourceonline.com. As I stated before the break, today's topic is about sisterhood. I'm so honored to introduce our next guest. But before I introduce her, I wanted to share with all of you about partnership in business. I came across an article on womenonbusiness.com by Susan Ganellis, and she shared an article she came across by Eleanor Robin on womenentrepreneur.com, and it's called The 7 Components of Positive Partnership. And here she provides analysis on the 7 most important things a partnership has to encompass in order for it to be successful. While the article is targeted to businesses operating as partnerships, the traits apply to any type of partnership you might have in business. For example, with your colleagues or clients. So, here is Eleanor's list of the 7 characteristics of successful partnership. 1, shared values. 2, complementary skills and traits. 3, a sense of equity. 4, growing together. 5, proactive conflict management strategies. 6, shared vision. 7, an exit strategy. Each of these traits Eleanor just talks about is meant to create a stronger team. The one that stands out the most to me, aside from having the same goals and vision, is 2, complementary skills and traits. Whenever I build a team, I always look for a team of people who bring different skills to the table, but will work together cohesively to ensure all bases are covered, gaps are filled, and the strongest team overall is created. You can also read the rest of Eleanor's analysis of each characteristic of a successful partnership in her article at womenentrepreneur.com. Also, before I leave this topic, ladies, let me ask all of you, what other traits do you find to be essential when it comes to developing a successful partnership? I'm going to leave that with all of you and let you ponder on that question. Now, on to our show. On today's show, we have a woman who epitomizes a higher elevation of enlightenment, and I am so excited. And the reason I'm so excited today is because coming on our show is a woman who I consider my sister and one of the most conscious women in the game of enlightenment and activism right now. The beautiful C. Asia of A Queen by All Means, she's created a movement for women that is inspirational to females that really shows them how to model independence within a collective effort to train women so that they will recognize the power of being a queen in all of them and aspire to live a virtuous existence. Now, ladies, we can all desire that in our lives. When we return, we will talk to Asia about her movement and a little love and lifestyle. Life Masters Now Success Coaching was designed to provide you with the necessary resources for you to master your life right now. We can show you how to make transformational changes in your life and business. Let us teach you how to move forward in progression, prosperity, and power. Visit us at lifemastersnow.com. And we're back. As I stated before the break,
Today's show is about the life of a queen. We are talking and speaking to the beautiful C. Asia of Queen By All Means and the Newark Anti-Violence Coalition. She's a world-renowned speaker and activist who has dedicated her life to empowering women and men. Hello, Asia.
Hey, peace. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for being on our show today.
Oh, absolutely. It is my honor and pleasure to be here.
Great. Well, let's get into it. Let's talk to you about your business, love, and lifestyle. So what inspired you to start A Queen By All Means?
Well, I actually had an idea. I mean, I've always been one of those girls at that time that always had, I was always around a lot of girls growing up. Always had a large crew, a posse. I'm a Libra, so I'm a socialite. You know, I don't hang with just one chick. It got to be 5 to 20 at one time, and we're all rolling. And so as I began to evolve in my life and have a new perspective of how I wanted to live and think and be, I figure it would be a good idea to begin a sisterhood around that concept. And I attempted to start, I attempted to have a retreat about 5 years ago called A Queen By All Means Retreat. And it was a cool spa, laid back, chill out kind of ambiance at a great resort down in Princeton, New Jersey. It didn't go through because of sponsorship at the time. So I just picked back up on the concept again when I had the urge to do another retreat 2 years ago. And I did, and that was a successful one with about 25 women in Western Maryland. And we went up in the mountains of the Appalachian Mountains, and we had a great weekend. And from that moment, it started with the on Facebook. I organized the sisters that I knew who've been following me in terms of being support systems on the social networks for the past few years. And they came and showed up. They paid the, I think it was like $250, and they came and showed up, 25 of them from Tennessee, Texas, all over Chicago. They flew or drove out. And we all got together from Jersey and New York, and we all got together and we drove out there and had a fabulous weekend. And from that point forward, the movement continued, and we've had several retreats since then, including one in Puerto Rico this past summer.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I didn't even know that you had all that going on. I'm a newbie to the Queen By All Means.
Yeah, we're not just a Facebook group, not with me. I get the party started.
Great. So Asia, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Like, what led you to this point? Now, you talked about starting A Queen By All Means, but you're quite an activist within the community of Newark, New Jersey, and obviously being one of the members of the Anti-Violence Coalition. So where did this all start for you? What was your personal journey that led up to everything?
Well, you know, Newark, New Jersey, East Orange, New Jersey, it's not the suburbs, it is the cities. And we've been a very instrumental part of the hip hop history, you know, for its establishment in the last 40 years. Yeah, it started in New York, but Jersey has also been a very instrumental arm of hip hop as well. And which means if we could even reflect on some of the lyrics or stories of people in hip hop, we'll know that there's been a lot of violence, crime, drug use, gangs, you know, those kind of things growing up, poverty, teen pregnancy, and I've been subject of all of these things. So also with a very strong factor in the Northeast, such as New Jersey and New York, has been being the vortex of consciousness, and especially for quote-unquote African-Americans or Black people in America, New York and New Jersey has been a very strong cultural and conscious vortex. Whether Harlem, Bronx, Brooklyn, New York, Staten Island, New Jersey, has been very instrumental in that. So I have been one of them in that sweep, you know, whether you hear it through hip hop or Wu-Tang, Rakim or whatever, all of the colliding stories of what we experience here, I've been a part of that. And so in that vortex of culture and lifestyle and hip hop and consciousness, I developed my own spirituality, and I realized while being awakened, like, hold on, are we really talking about the issue about death? Like, we're rapping about it, we're rhyming about it, we talk about it, we joke about it, but this is a serious thing. Our friends are dying. So as a result of that, I began to take my studies more serious from when the brothers had, I got some degrees of teachings from Elijah Muhammad, from these young brothers who were drug dealers in Newark back in 97. I was coming out of court from catching a case from fighting someone, or a little bit more than that. I was a little bit more aggressive than that. I don't use the terms of what I would say I did. Yeah. Some ass, and I went to court for it, and they were coming out of court from being drug dealers. They was ROR'd, which means out on their own recog. They were released, and they was getting my numbers. So just the ghetto mentality of exchanging numbers, one coming out of court and the other one coming out of jail. But here do we know, I'm brilliant. This person, this brother was brilliant, and we just was in a product of our environment. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I wound up taking it to another level, and in this journey since 97, I woke up to that reality as well too, that we weren't functional. You know what I'm saying? That all of this that we've been rhyming about, talking about, partying about is not functional. It doesn't work. And so in that, I began to formulate like moves in my life. I would work and do all those things, but I became proactive with what happened with Katrina, with New Orleans, you know, part of the movement up here that began to send stuff down there. I was on panels about humanitarian packages or food care packages that go into the prisoners, and them stopping that for them. So I became more proactive and outraged and began to do stuff about it. And next thing you know, I was more like a panther, like a new panther, and more, a little more radical, and just being more involved in grassroots movements. And so when the North Anti-Violence Coalition was formed by my comrade, Ross Baraka, Amiri Baraka's son, here in North, I was right there in the beginning stages, the beginning stage of him formulating that concept, and been very instrumental with the PR, with the reputation and the respect of it, with my voice and social abilities thus far, and that's pretty much the activist aspect of my life, not to mention being a 5%er or a very strong friend and confidant and comrade of people in the Nation of Islam as well too. So that's pretty much a very, very brief summarized brown sugar story of my life and how I got to this degree, and why so much spin off from me because of what I've been exposed to growing up through our culture of music, the street life, and the reality of living in this area, and what we experience, and what was functional, which was really dysfunctional, that I undone to make it functional again in such a way where we're at least cognizant of the choices that we make and make sure that we're balancing our lives, that we don't accept the dysfunction. And if we do, we accept it in a way where we're becoming proactive to changing it, you know? And so that's beautiful C-Asia, which is also streamlined into how I treat women as well in our sisterhood. You know, that approach is also brought in a feminine way and aspect for the women in the sisterhood as well. So
what was it like for you growing up? Now, you touched upon bits and pieces of it, but what was it like growing up around, because obviously I live in Toronto, okay, outside of Toronto.
And Toronto's fly is cool, it's cultural, it's diverse. I heard it's the cleanest ghetto you want to see. I can't wait to see it.
Toronto, I will say, is definitely clean. I actually grew up about an hour west in this small little, I wouldn't say it's a small town, but it's world renowned because it has a great university, because we're known for our agriculture. But
yeah,
I would say that... Yeah. As being Canadian, okay, we are not exposed to a lot of the violence that goes on in the United States. Toronto definitely has its violence, no doubt, but it's not
great. It's not the States. No,
yeah, it's not, because even the youth, I have to say that in some aspects we're privileged, and we don't talk enough about that. As much as, you know, people here want to say, well, we have our little ghetto areas. No, we don't, okay? There's right. Really no ghetto in Canada. When you go, I have been to parts in the States where I just don't want to even go through those areas, because, and I even if I'm in a car, I still feel apprehensive, because it's not like being in Canada. I can operate, like my kids here, anybody can go anywhere. So what was it like for you you know, growing up, you know, you obviously have probably known friends that have gotten murdered, friends that have died, anything. What was that like? And like, how has that left an impact on you as a woman?
Well, it's, you know, so just real quick, just to even piggyback what you said about Canada, because I actually was going to move to Vancouver. I was very interested in Vancouver before I even took that leap to Florida and Puerto Rico last 2 years ago, just coming back home to the States 2 months ago. I was on that journey for 2 years in Florida and Puerto Rico. I was really researching Sedona, Arizona, and Vancouver. And when I looked at Vancouver, I thought it was the cutest, cleanest ghetto I've ever seen. Not ghetto, but I mean urban, you know, urban. It's just beautiful. And I'm just like, you know, even when I read about the statistics of heroin users in Vancouver, they said even them, you know, even the way that they do things is in a very refined sense. So shouts to Canada for being, before I go into me, being a very refined follow-up for us here in the States. When we misused and mishandled hip-hop, Canada said, okay, let me take that. I'll clean it up. We'll keep the arts of it, the breakdancing and all that stuff and the DJing and appreciating it for what it was. We'll keep it clean while you guys sort out your violence down there, because you guys are crazy down there. Well, you know, we'll appreciate it.
You know,
and I love Canada for that with reggae too, you know, with the Caribbean community as well too. I appreciate Canada for always taking the purity of the cultures that we started, whether in the islands or the States, and keeping it raw at the essence of what it was started for. I really do, because I noticed that much about Canada.
Well, I was going to say this, like, even in hip-hop culture, you and I have talked about this briefly, but in hip-hop, I think that there's nothing, I don't think there's anything wrong with our brothers or even our sisters sharing the story of, you know, street life. It's how it's conveyed. Like, hip-hop has definitely gone, and I don't want to go off too far on this.
Yes, I know.
It's definitely gone off on, it's more about, you know, well, you know, this is like, you know, where's my skrill, like, you know, the hoes, the bitches, like, it's all about that. And it's really has gone away from what it's supposed to be about, which is the beauty of our people and the diversity and the culture of us, because you know, we're beautiful people, melanated and all.
It's true. But so I appreciate Canada for keeping the love of that, you know, for all of it, whether it's reggae or hip-hop. You know, I just wanted to piggyback on that and saying that, okay, yeah, it may not have been as violent, but there's been it. You guys keep us balanced, and much respect for that. So, just throwing that out there. Had to give a hoot to Canada for that. And so with me, it's been traumatizing. You know, and what we thought was cool was really us accepting trauma. You know, and for us, we've been iconic with glorifying a traumatic life, you know, and I think it's not just because we're crazy or twisted, not just that reason, but because we managed to survive it and we managed to accept it in a way where we could still function to a degree. You know what I mean? I mean, the world has heralded this part of the world, the Northeast, for being what it is, and we have to acknowledge that we have been able to still function, you know, despite what we've glorified and what we accepted. There's always been this duality or polarity of existence, which has been a brilliance to a degree, and we managed to survive through all of that. And so it's been traumatizing to go on 42nd Street as a kid and see pimps, prostitutes, drug use, heroin use out in the open in the public. 42nd Street was not Disneyland it is today. It was bananas back in the 80s and the 70s and in the early 90s. And we accepted it in the Bronx and New Jersey, and drugs and everything was everywhere. And for Newark, it was the stolen car capital. And I had a lot of friends that died in that era of high school, junior high, and what would be considered early college years, had I gone at that time, from stolen cars, guns, and drug wars, definitely, you know, things like that. So that has been, it was very traumatizing. I'm just one of them who decided not to stay in the spell of trauma and accepting it and just do and keep going on my life and actually doing something about it, because I'm an astrologer. I now know why I stood up for something, because it's in my energy too. Yep. I know my birth energy. So it was meant for me to have a voice and become outraged.
Well, I'll look at the beautiful person that it produced though.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. Flowers grow from this circumstance if they're wise enough, whether no matter where you are in the world, there's the most beautiful people have evolved from these type of environments, because challenges build character.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just the way it is.
Well, that's what the universe is looking for, right? It's looking to see about how you respond. And what I always teach people is that life is about survival, okay? And I'll reference one of like the movies that I love, but this is Sparta. This is not a joke. Like, people think that life is not just for just living and getting by. Life is about living life abundantly and freely and operating in your potential. And Asia, you're definitely operating in your potential. And that leads me to our next topic of your beautiful movement that I am so happy to bring to the beautiful city of Canada, up here to the north. About your Queen by All Means, your holistic awareness around breast cancer. So let's talk about that. How did that start?
Excuse me. Sure. Well, my, you know, just to talk about what we become in terms of products of our environment. And I mean, of course, I don't mean as if these are the only people who suffer, because everyone's getting a glimpse of cancer reality in their lives, no matter what part of the world they live in. They have loved ones who have passed from this. Mm-hmm. And so for my father, though, I think it's more with when you're in a specific environment, the age, you know, people don't live a certain tenure, depending on where you are geographically, due to the education or miseducation. Because my father died of liver cancer at 50 years old.
Not okay.
Thank you. My great grandmother, she was in her 80s, but she died of breast cancer, which is my mother's grandmother. And then my mother's mother died of ovarian cancer, but it, you know, it spread to her breast as well, too, because cancer usually starts one place and spread to another. You know, sometimes breast cancer didn't start in the breast, you know, starts somewhere else and could spread on into the body. So for me, it wasn't just about the fact that it was breast cancer and me walking with my mom and in Newark at previous walks before I decided to make this decision. It was the fact that I didn't see anyone benefiting. And my dad was like the last straw. When he died in 2002, I was like, you know, he died of liver cancer at 50 years old. And I remember the deterioration, you know, I remember. And then it made me reflect on my grandma when she died in 99. I'm like, it wasn't just a area that they were sick at that was being taken out, but I remember my father beginning to suffer in other parts of his body as a result of the chemotherapy, you know? And so I had to begin to look, go back in my mind chronologically at the people that I knew who loved, who died from cancer, and realize no one ever benefited from the treatment. No one. In fact, they got worse, you know? And so as we deal with breast cancer, what would make it different? Because it's in the breast, whether it's the liver, the breast. Why aren't we talking about naturopathic ways of dealing with these cancers? And I'm up here as I'm developing in my spirituality, growth and development from 97. Some of the people who have inspired me to change my diet was reading books from Lila Africa, Dr. Lila Africa.
I love him.
Of African Holistic Health was my earlier books that I read, and Queen of Food Will Heal Thyself. So these were my first earlier books in 98 and 99 that I was reading. And I said, and as I began to get on that journey, I realized, hey, we don't have to die like dogs, you know, where is this money going to? And so when I realized that I had a movement with me, like, you know, an army for real of women, and they were ready to ride, roll, and rock out, I'm like, you know what, let's infiltrate these walks, because I've been going to them with my mom. Let's infiltrate these walks in the city. So I began to do my research, because I'm great at that. And I was like, oh yeah, these walks are happening all over the country. It's, you know, this is a big thing. Wow, look how much money they've, you know, raised over the years, trillions of dollars. And you mean to tell me people are still getting carried up out of here? Nah, we gotta bum rush these joints with some information that are armed. I mean, you know, we can't hit them up in millions, but at least a woman here and there can get the knowledge and know specific lotions on the largest organ of our body, our skin, have ingredients that are carcinogens, you know, cancer causing agents, or the stuff that we put in our hair, the perms, the ammonia,
yep,
from the chemicals, and, you know, and the food, and more importantly though, the self-love, you know, because cancer is something that is metaphysical first. It's the ideas, how we feel, it's how we think. It's there, it's in the mind realm first.
Exactly. And that's, I'm
going to manifest. No, go ahead.
It starts in the mind. And that's where a lot of people,
yeah.
I grew up in a holistic community, okay, of Guelph, Ontario. And this community, it's a green community. It's one of Canada's greenest communities. And even people here, how do you go from being a vegan, you know, you, even if you've been a vegan or eating well or been conscious your whole life, consciousness is just not about eating. It's also about live. It starts in the mind. A vegan can have cancer. If you do not have self-love and you are manifesting daily in your mind, you know, this level of self-hatred, and you haven't even dealt with yourself on a spiritual level, what is happening on a spiritual level is going to start manifesting in the body. We know this. Yes. Science has proven this. It happens constantly. So people need to realize it's in the mind of,
yes,
you need to. You and I have talked about this, about the level of bringing this level of consciousness that's so needed right now in our world, around holism and holistic healing, because modern medicine, people need to appreciate this, it's a business, okay? Medicine is not, and I'm going to go right out here and say this, medicine is not, it's a business. I worked in healthcare for years, and that's how a lot of these people don't realize is that medicine is a business, just like anything else. So they don't make money if people are not coming back. You know, if I would go as boldly as to say that it's like almost like drug dealing. Okay. Yeah. They make their money on the comeback. That's how a drug dealer makes their money. So, and I'm very passionate about this, because I've definitely had people in my life that have died from cancer, and I've seen, the effects of it. And cancer is a horrible, disgusting disease that is preventable. And most people don't realize it. It is about eating, but it's about raising also this level of consciousness and how we live mentally and emotionally, so we can manifest this abundance in our life. So, right. I want you to educate the women on talking about the options, especially around breast cancer. We've been taught about, you know, these mammograms that are painful for women. Let's talk about the holistic alternative, Asia.
Yeah, well, you know, just for the record, I'm not a specialist, you know, in terms of me having any books. I've not been in the jungles of the Congo, you know, looking for medicinal plants. Uh-uh. But I am.
None of us are that, but we are.
Yeah, no, you know, just as a disclaimer for everyone, you know, so, you know, neither one of us are, but we both are wise and conscious enough to know darn well that, for one, yes, self-love, and I did a video on this on YouTube on a Queen By All Means about self-love is the cure to cancer and ass whoopings, because it's also Domestic Violence Awareness Month too. We're also on walks doing that too. You know, we're actually showing up at events with the purple ribbon theme as well. You know, it's not just breast cancer, but also we're out there for domestic violence this month as well too, and having events and fundraisers. So, The cure to both of those cancers, okay, is self-love. And, you know, because self-love will constitute the education that we need to raise ourselves up mentally, physically, spiritually, psychologically, socially. And then this way, like you said, we're not just taking on the idea that we're just vegan and that's cool enough to defeat cancer. No, when we're talking about the pH balance of life, whether we're talking about acidic and alkaline, apparently it's in the spirit realm or first, or the energetic field first, because when you look at, for those of you who are aware of the chakra energy, the chart that deals with our body's pH level from acidic to alkaline is very synchronized with the same chart of the chakras, going from the base chakra from red to violet. So it's the same thing when you're dealing with acidic to alkaline. Acidic bodies will be in starting with the red all the way up to 14, from 1 to 14 on the acidic or the alkaline. And you can read up on this if you don't understand what I'm saying. It goes up to the color purple as well. So that means it's in the spirit first. It's in the mind. It's in the spirit. It's in the soul of a person before it manifests itself into an acidic or alkaline physical state. And that means the first thing you can do is become conscious enough to know who you are. And self-love is not the tradition of a person telling you what you need to do. Go out jogging, go running. No, it's an acceptance. It's an acceptance for who you are. If you are a fat girl who likes cake and don't want to explain it, justify it, or whatever, and this may be a poor example, but it's the poorest one for the biggest reason. Because it means that you accept yourself for who you are. And when you begin to take proactive measures about what you don't like about yourself or uncomfortable about yourself, it's not because there's this trend that says to do so. It's not because of you thinking that's the way to cure the physical cancer. It's because you want to. And you accept yourself as you are. You accept the fact, hey, I got anger issues. I'm aware of this about myself. And when it's good goddamn time for me to do something about it, I will. It's that kind of approach in life. You understand? It's the approach of recognizing, no, I may not be able to do this, but I am acceptable for what I do that for. And we begin to understand why we do what we do. People pick on you because you may be a crybaby and cry a lot. Or maybe because you're a Cancer, a Pisces, or because, you know, hereditarily the family have not dealt with some issues and it may be carried in the DNA of you. You understand? And you accept that and you honor it and you're like, I'm going to work on it when I feel like it and I understand it for what it is and I keep it moving. That's what life is about in my perception of things. You know, we can't destroy, you can't ignore murder, violence, because it's a real vibration. It's a real frequency. It exists. You accept it. You just do what you can to leave it out of your life if it's not for you. And that's what self-love is about. It's about accepting and understanding that everything is here because it's supposed to be. It's nature. And if you got a problem with nature, you got a problem with your creator if you believe in God, because this is what it is. It's just what you don't like in your shopping cart, take it out. And you shop with those who shop the same things that you shop for, and you all hang together. But don't judge necessarily other people if they don't have anything to do with you. Let everybody be who they are. Everyone's here to be a reflection in a mirror for oneself. And that's what it is. And we take the proactive measures that make us uncomfortable, and we keep it moving. Then cancers become minimum to me. Self-hatred, self-ignorance, that's the things that form cancer into its physical form. If I get sick today, Queen, trust me, it's because of what I was, not what I am now.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. So that's what it's about. And all the other stuff we talk about with the green leaf lettuce and the lotions and the hair products and the aluminum deodorants blocking up your pores, that stuff comes later, because Granny and them was doing that stuff, Queen, forever, right? And they lived till 90.
Yeah.
Okay. But there was something that about themselves that they had a pride. I think their pride for what they endured helped them live long. The spirit of pride through civil rights, through survivorship of alleged slavery and these things kept them around and preserved them much longer than the whiners of today, who got to have a movement and campaign for every goddamn thing
so
on true. Their body. You know what I'm saying? Like, really, you know.
Yeah, it's true. It's because our ancestors were operating on a higher vibration level. And meanwhile, they faced more opposition than we even, in some aspects, they faced more opposition with less ammunition, if I can say it that way.
And again, it builds character, right? There was no Xboxes and things to escape from. You had to deal with it. You know what I mean? You had to deal
with
it.
You had to deal with your problems head on. There was nothing to deflect or to move away from. You had to deal with it. Now we find everything. You know, we have, there's so many tools. Social media is a great way to deflect from dealing with your some people use that, right? Dealing with whatever. We need to, as a people, and this is not just directed to our community, this is on a whole for women, men,
everyone.
Single person. We need to look deep and really deal with our emotional issues. That's why I started my campaign for Bear, you know, and if people think it has nothing to do with sexuality. It's about emotional awareness and transparency. It's about celebrating ourselves and our uniqueness. And I know that's something that you stand firmly behind, Asia.
Oh, yeah. You know what you mean, the emotional intelligence?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just posted something up about it, you know, how I really adore you for having National Bear Day. You know what I mean? Women, you got to, men and women, rock on with us. You know what I'm saying? Put it out there. You know, when we try to ignore what it is that we're experiencing in our lives emotionally and neglect that part of ourselves, we suffer. So such a great and major salute to you for being so brilliant to establish a day such as October 24th to make a highlight on the fact that we need to be in tune with our feelings, because emotional intelligence to me is the it's the higher intelligence to me, when balanced properly, than the mental, you know, because it's the gut, it's the instinct, it's the intuition, and it's the first spark, you know, before the mind even can calculate what just happened. You know what I mean? It's the feeling, like, and then the mind say, hey, did you just send me a message about what's the, you know what I mean? Like, it's like the, to me, the first intelligence before the mental. And I could be wrong, but that's the way that I feel. Because I'm putting it out there. I'm being bigger.
Yeah. I was going to say, let's get to your movement that we're, all of us are being a part of for the walk. So when our women are now starting this. This is all over the United States, and then I'm starting here in Canada.
Yes. What we're doing is last year, which is our first annual, kind of like the bum rushing of the current walks that's going on now. You know, we'll have our own walks, correct, next year, Queen? We will have our own thing going on next year together.
For sure.
And what it is that we're going to the current walks, such as the one as Making Strides Against Breast Cancer, excuse me, or the Susan Croman, I can't never remember her name, or Avon Walks. Shouts to them. They do what they do. Women are happy. They're cheerful. They're alive. They're electric when these days happen. I apologize. Someone's alarm is going off in the back.
It's fine. It's fine.
They're alive and electric when they come out to these walks. They love the unity. They love the essence. They love the pride. They love that they're standing up for their loved one. But how about we do it, like right now I'm looking at one for Atlanta for Making Strides. They said so far we've raised $361,000, $220.59 with 4 days to go. Oh, wow. That's just for Atlanta.
Wow.
Okay. That's just for Atlanta. And no cure? You gotta be kidding me. I know a man named David who survived cancer 3 times in Florida. I stayed with him a little bit and helped him out in his journey. When he went to Hippocrates Holistic Center down there in Florida and got well from eating raw foods and all that stuff. Well, he had a spiritual transformation too. Let me just say that. But he got on raw food diet and wheatgrass and stuff, and he defeated cancer 3 times from that. So how the hell corporations have not, from, I can't even think about that denomination of dollars that may have been grossed, you know, in the past years from these walks, and there's no cure. And we're telling you, the poor man, so-called, compared to these guys like Dr. Sabi and
love him.
They're giving you the cure in terms of spirit, mind, and body together, which is the holistic approach against it. So how don't you have the cure? Okay, so we're going to go to these walks, all us chicks who've learned information from people like this and our own experiences, and we're going to go out there and promote these local people who have been doing things naturally to go against cancer. Put their information, if it's a sister in North Carolina who's going to be walking at Making Strides, and she's going to be the team captain for Queen, by all means, organizing the troops from Charlotte, let's say, like Nia Ya. She's going to be out there with her troops in the literature, and I'm going to be promoting her holistic business on the newsletters that they're going to be printing out and putting out to the people with all of the information about skincare, hair care, you know what I'm saying, diet and everything that we can in one newsletter while we're at these pink ribbon walks. So we'll be doing that in several cities. Last year it was 16 cities. Maybe about 16 to 20 this year. Willfully more will jump on by the month's end. And we'll be out there with the people with domestic violence and cancer for how self-love and all of the other accessories that come as a result of loving yourself will come. And that's how you stand up to cancer. Not removing your breasts, okay? Not chemotherapy, not radiation, not the tradition behind the pink ribbon.
Yep.
Okay, not the traditional medicine behind the pink ribbon. We're going to own our own ribbon, our own color, our own month, and our own walks next year. And we're going to have thermograms instead of mammograms and more natural answers in motion than what we've known thus far in the traditional medicine. And that's why we're out here this year and last year.
Great, Asia. Thank you so much for being on our show, sweetheart.
Yay!
It's been a pleasure having you. We hope that you'll come back next year and talk to us more about your business, love, and lifestyle.
Please join us on the Queen by All Means on Facebook. Look forward to having you, every one of you. I don't care what your background is. Please join us. You know, women are the nurturers of the household and the families, and you are vital to this transformation and this wave that we're experiencing in this time. Let's get smart. Let's get empowered. Let's get educated. I'm with you. Let's rock. Thank you, Queen, for having me.
Not a problem. I love you, babe.
Love you, too.
Mom's Movement Radio Show on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. with me, your host, Janae Eisenstrauss, where we will talk to moms all around the world about business, love, and lifestyle. Join us and be a part of a movement of moms who are changing their lives by force.
I'm so thankful we had the incredible opportunity to speak with Asia today. Before I leave you this week, ladies, I wanted to share a poem with all of you by Angelica Machado, and it's called Sisters. She starts off by saying, God sent us to be sisters so we can be best of friends, to be there for one another, even when there is pain. I thank the Lord for sending my sisters to me, for whom I truly love and care. We shared so many things together, like laughter and some scares. It's funny how we sometimes argue. I guess it's normal in this world. But having you as my sister means more to me than you'll ever know in the world. I wouldn't trade you for anything. I will never let you go. Our friendship continues to grow. So you, my love, will always know. Just always remember, you can talk to me. I'll be the best friend you ever knew. See, ladies, I view Asia and every single woman involved in the Queen by All Means movement as my sisters. We represent a movement of women who want to bring a higher level of consciousness to everyone worldwide. We want to empower and uplift women so they can experience fully in this lifetime their potential. We operate as a collaborative effort. As you heard me mention, Asia's in New Jersey, and I'm in just a little bit outside of Toronto. But that doesn't matter. All of us see each other as no one is above the other. Join Asia and join me in our movements, because we represent a movement of women who are powerful, sexy, and changing our lives and the lives of other women by force. Thank you, ladies, for listening to Women's Movement Radio Show today. I'm your host, Jeanette Azen-Strauss. Join me next week here on Tuesday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WMRN. Lastly, ladies, please know, be informed, be inspired, be incredibly successful.
Every time I hear a brother call a girl a bitch or a hoe, trying to make a sister feel low, you know all of that got to go. Now everybody knows there's exceptions to this rule. I don't be getting mad when we playing, it's cool. But don't you be calling me out my name. I bring crap to those who disrespect me like a dame. That's why I'm talking. One day I was walking down the block, I had my cutoff shorts on, right? Cause it was crazy hot. I walked past these dudes when they passed me. One of them felt my booty, he was nasty. Yeah. I turned around red, somebody was catching the rat. Then the little one said,
yeah, me bitch.
And laughed. Since he was with his boys, he tried to break fly. I punched him dead in his eyes. Said,
who you calling a bitch?
U-N-I-T-Y. Days at work give you an attitude and you abrupt. It take it out on me, but that's about enough. You put your hands on me again, I put your ass in handcuffs. I guess I fell so deep in love, I grew dependency. I was too blind to see just how it was affecting me. All that I knew is you was all the man I had. And I was scared to let you go, even though you treated me bad. But I don't want to see my kids see me getting beat down by daddy smacking mommy all around. You say I'm nothing without you, but I'm nothing with you. A man's don't really love you if he hits you. Yeah. This is my notice of the tool. I'm not taking it no more. I'm not your personal whore. That's not what I'm here for. Ain't nothing good gon' come to you till you do right by me. Brother, you ain't sitting in the
bitch. U-N-I-T-Y.
A bitch, now that you saw a Batchy's video, I saw you wildin', acting like a fool. I peeped you out the window, jumping girls after school. But where did all of this come from? A minute ago, you was a nerd, and nobody ever heard of you. Now you a wannabe. Hard. You barely know your ABCs. Please. There's plenty of people out there with triggers ready to pull it. Why you trying to jump in front of the bullet? Young lady. And real bad girls are the silent type.
Yeah.
Ain't none of this worth getting your face sliced. Cause that's what happened to your homegirl, right?
Walking with nobody.
She got to wear that for life. Who you calling a bitch?
U-N-I-T-Y.
You're now listening to WMRN.